Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is so good to see you all again today. It's been 3 weeks, but it feels like longer. Feels like a while since I've been with you, and we've been reading through the Gospel of Luke. We pick up today in that gospel. It's our narrative gospel for the year. Luke shares a unique story of Jesus' life, beginning with his birth and his early years, his presentation in the temple. Luke is the only one who includes the story that you read with Pastor Sorensen 2 weeks ago of Jesus teaching in the temple as a boy. After that, Luke skips ahead nearly 20 years. He introduces John the Baptist, who, filled with the word of God, offers a baptism of repentance. John promises the people that although he baptizes with water, the one who is coming will baptize his followers with the Holy Spirit. John baptizes Jesus, and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And a voice rings out, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." After his baptism, Luke tells us that Jesus is 30 years old when he begins his work. The first thing that he does is go into the wilderness, filled with the Holy Spirit, where he prays and fasts and is tempted by the devil. When he returns to Galilee, Jesus, and again, Luke tells us, filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, begins to teach in synagogues around Galilee. Word about him spreads, and he is praised by everyone. And then he comes to his hometown in the story that we read today. This story, set in Nazareth, is considered by many to be key to understanding Luke's gospel. It offers, in the form of a story, a sort of thesis for the book, the subject, and a foreshadowing of the plot of where this story is going. Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." That's exactly what Luke has been telling us over and over again leading up to this story. In the stories of Jesus' baptism and temptation and the start of his ministry, which is just a little more than a chapter of the book or 2.5 pages in my study Bible, Luke tells us 4 times that Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding and directing the action, leading Jesus into the wilderness, guiding him in his teaching. So it is no surprise to us when Jesus reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he goes on to tell his listeners, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is about me. I am the anointed one." But it is certainly a surprise to his listeners in Nazareth. They are impressed, but at the same time, they are confounded. "Isn't this Jesus, the carpenter's son? Who knew he could teach like that? Who is he to make such a claim anyway?" In the Weekly Working Preacher podcast, one professor called today's reading Jesus' inauguration speech, because of course we all have inauguration on our minds this week. It's in the news every day. Even as I drove here today, some reporter was trying to predict what the inauguration speech on Wednesday will sound like. In an inauguration speech, a new leader lays out their plans, their vision for the future, and the work that they intend to do to get to that future. And Jesus does just that when he reads and comments on the prophet Isaiah. Jesus is taking up the mantle of his role as the Messiah, and he lays out his vision and plans. His vision, of course, is the vision of the God of Israel as spoken by the prophets. Good news to the poor and the oppressed, freedom to the captive, sight for the blind. The year of the Lord's favor refers to the year of Jubilee, set out in Leviticus as a time when debts are canceled, slaves are freed, and displaced persons can return to their lands. It is a vision of great hope and reconciliation for the people of God. And that is the vision Jesus offers for his work and his future. Freedom and forgiveness, mercy and justice, a vision of shalom, well-being, peace, and enough for all. Jesus sets out an image of himself as a healer, a teacher, a leader who will guide the people into reconciliation and freedom and peace. It's no wonder the listeners in Nazareth are amazed. This scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. This great vision is coming to pass. How could it be? Then the story takes a strange turn. Jesus provokes his listeners. It's as if he kind of pokes at them. He says, a prophet is never given honor in his hometown, even though they did seem ready to honor him. Jesus then reminds them two stories of the prophets that they would have been very familiar with. When Elijah helped the starving widow in the foreign town of Zarephath, he could just as well have helped a starving widow in Israel. The drought was everywhere. And when Elisha healed the foreign king of leprosy, certainly there were lepers in Israel who needed healing just as much. It's hard to follow the turn the story takes here, but I think that this is Luke taking the opportunity right here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry to make a point. Luke uses this moment as Jesus lays out his vision for ministry, that vision of healing and reconciliation, of justice and mercy, to remind his readers that all means everyone, not just all of Israel. Throughout Luke's story of the gospel, these hints and reminders keep coming that Jesus came to save not just the people of Israel, but all people. In his sequel to the gospel, the book of Acts, Luke will go on to tell how the Holy Spirit drives the first believers to share the story of Jesus to the ends of the earth. So here is a hint to where the story of this anointed one will lead. And this hint is followed by another, as the people suddenly turn on Jesus in anger and even attempt violence. Luke is taking some storytelling license here because the nearest cliff is kilometers from Nazareth. But perhaps the cliff here is a metaphor, an image of danger for us to carry forward as we read the story of Jesus. From here to the end, the words and actions of Jesus will be met with both acclaim and conflict. Many will choose to follow Jesus, to learn from him, to be near him and be healed by him. But others will choose to challenge, to cause conflict, to drive the story closer and closer to the cliff edge of violence and death. And so in this story, set out right here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, is a choice. Will we hear the call to follow Jesus, to live out God's vision of love and justice, mercy and forgiveness? Or will we turn away, choosing our own comfort and the easy ways we know? Is it a risk to follow Jesus? Yes, most certainly. There is a cliff ahead. Followers will be required to step out in faith into the unknown promised future again and again and again. But remember the assurance that Luke gives us, that this Jesus, this carpenter's son from the little town of Nazareth in Galilee, he is filled with God's Holy Spirit. The very breath of God breathes in him. The Spirit of wisdom guides him, and the Spirit of truth fills him and flows from him. And he doesn't hold this Spirit for himself, but offers it freely to his followers to give us comfort and faith and courage in the midst of our struggles and doubts. To go with us into all the hard places that our lives and our following the way of the gospel may take us. Today, Jesus says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today and every day, I am the one and you are mine. Thanks be to God. Amen.